Father, we just take a moment. Again, we sense your presence. We sense, Lord God, that you want to do something amazing this morning in our lives and in the life of this church. Lord God, I ask that as we look at prayer, as we look at fasting and praying, and as we look at being sensitive to the needs of others and those that are going through things, that we could wrap our arms around them and help them to go through. As we do all of that, Lord God, would you minister to us this morning? Would you allow us to sense your presence? Would you do something amazing? Would our hearts be open and ready to receive it? In Jesus' name, amen. All week it has been a time that I've spent my time praying, asking God to do some extraordinary things in people's lives, because it seems like so many people are going through hard times. So many people are facing things that are beyond their control. So many people are trying to be good Christians, trying to do what's right, and struggling and coming up in obstacles, and I really believe that Christians are in battle. You know, like I said before, I don't see a devil behind every tree, but Christians are in battles. You're trying to serve the Lord. You're in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. You're trying to do what's right. You're in a spiritual battle. And all of these things are happening in people's lives. And this morning, I have the title of the sermon is So Fast. And it's not S-E-W, it's S-O-W. I'm trying to be cute, but what I'm trying to look at this morning is, you know, the Bible talks about sowing, and it's talked about planting seeds, and it's talking about planting something and expecting a harvest. It's about, if you sow watermelon seeds, don't expect cucumbers. Do you know? And I'm being serious. If you sow nothing, don't expect a harvest. If you know what I'm saying. So when I say so, I mean S-O-W. When I'm talking about fasting, and fasting in the Bible is about going without food for a purpose. It's about putting these two together this morning, and what I'm asking and what I'm desiring is for God to show us what about and what if we would sow our time and energy into prayer. What can we expect, Lord? What kind of harvest are we going to see? What is going to happen? You know, is there a blessing? God, you tell us that if we fast and sow, and if we fast in prayer, and if we're lifting up the name of Jesus, and we're bringing our requests to you, Lord, if we do all that, is there a blessing for it? Does those times bring answers to questions that we have about God, about our relationship with Him? Does the spiritual discipline, and it's a discipline, and you'll see me in a minute, I'm going to point it out. Prayer is a discipline. A lot of people say they pray, but a lot of people aren't praying. A lot of people say they're talking to God about it, but they're not really talking to God about it. Does this spiritual discipline, when it's done in the proper way that God says, does it bring answers to our prayers? Or, God, is it just a diet? God, if I just go without food for a meal, is it just a diet? Or does something spiritually happen in a person when they do this? The Bible talks about fasting and prayer, but to be honest, we don't talk about it much. In fact, one of the people that I talked to not too long ago, when I was talking about fasting and praying, they really thought that was Old Testament stuff, and people from the New Testament, we don't fast and pray anymore. Well, I have news for you this morning. You should be. Fasting and prayer is not only an Old Testament ritual, it is something that should be happening today. And the more I see the things going on today, the more I see that we should be fasting and praying. Fasting and praying is not something that man invented. It's God-given, God-directed. And if God is driving us to it, if God is directing us to it, then we can expect something super extraordinary to happen when we do that. Fasting and praying is not just bringing your request to God and trying to manipulate Him into doing what you're wanting Him to do. Fasting and praying is not so God would do what you want Him to do. Okay, if I use this formula, God, you have to do this. God, if I use this formula, I realize that it doesn't line up with your word, but if I do this, well, then you have to do this and this and this. And that's not fasting and praying either. I have learned that there's many people in the church, and when I say in the church, I mean the church universal, that have never been taught about fasting and praying. They don't understand what fasting and praying is, so they don't. And I believe we're missing out. And then I think some of them just think that, okay, fasting and prayer must be for the pastor, must be for the leaders, it must be for the spiritual, you know, and to me, fasting and praying would be a drudgery and something that I can't do. And then I hear some that say, well, if I fasted and prayed for a whole day, I'd die. I've watched a lot of Americans. We all could miss a meal of while and we're not going to die, including this guy right here. I've got some reserve, so we can't use that as an excuse. Fasting and praying is, and I realize, and when I say this, fasting and praying is not for everyone because for medical reasons you might not be able to, but we can spend time in prayer. Some of you may not be able to spend a whole day without eating, but you can miss a meal. But every believer can pray. Every believer can be sensitive to what God wants to do. Every believer could be trying to seek God. And if your whole objection is just to skip a meal, that's called a diet. But if your objection is to skip that meal and to be praying for a purpose or someone else, then we can watch God do some amazing things. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. I'm going to read down to verse 19. If you look at your Bible, you see Matthew there, and in that chapter is all in red, showing us that these are Jesus' words speaking back to us. Starting at verse 5, he says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus then tells them, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your glory, your kingdom come, yours be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Then he goes on, gives us the direction for prayer, tells us and gives us a prayer that if you pray that prayer, it's a prayer directed back to the heavenly Father. It's a prayer that's not selfish. It's a prayer that is leading us to closer walk with God. And after you pray that prayer and you teach your kids that prayer, and as you get to spend time with God, you understand that really what He's trying to tell you is, I want an intimate relationship with you. I want you to be able to come to me. I want you to be able to speak to me. on all the issues that are going on in your life. Then he goes on and he talks about fasting here. So it's the next level of prayer. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I want you to see something. He's telling us that when you pray, really don't be standing around and expecting everybody to just be hallowing at your feet because you're praying. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't think higher than what you really ought to about yourself. Don't draw attention to you, but be sensitive to the prayer and know who you're speaking to. And when you can get behind closed doors, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we never knew was praying so hard for things going on in the world, because they did it in private and God will reward them. There is corporate prayer. There is a time for us to come together. It's okay to come to the altar. It's all right to have altar calls. I don't believe altar calls will ever go out of order. They may change the way they do them, but where else can you come to God if you can't come to the altar? Where else can you speak to God when you have an issue if you can't come to the altar when the Lord is prodding? Where else, after you hear a sermon and God gets a hold of your heart, why wouldn't you be able to come and get a closer relationship with Him and have brothers and sisters in the Lord come and pray over you? Then he says, when you fast, don't look like that disfigured face, like a Christian with a lemon stuck in his face. Yes, I was fasting and praying and still walking around with the oil on your face and all the things. Don't draw attention to yourself, because if you do, and God knows, if you do, you got your reward, because somebody said, oh, that's a great job. You're so spiritual. Well, there's your reward. But if you're really wanting to see God do something amazing, he's saying, anoint your head, spend time with me, wash it off, and be sensitive to the things that are going on. And he says, when you pray. Did you catch that? When you pray, when you fast. So it's not only for the leaders, it's not only for the pastors and the priests and the Levites and all of those. When you pray, he's telling us, when you pray, do it the right way. When you pray, do it for the right reason. When you're done, wash it off and spend time with me. There are some principles, and the principles of fasting and prayer is really pretty easy. Skip a meal, skip a time of eating, and pray. Not just skip the meal and go about your day, but skip a meal and begin to pray. If you looked at it in the Greek and the Hebrew, basically all of those words are telling the same thing. Abstain from food. Leave it alone for a period of time. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and a lot of people give up something for Lent. They give up chocolates, they give up TV, they give up things that are addictive, whatever they're giving up. But I'm telling you that if you're really going to fast and pray, whatever you're giving up, if you're giving up the TV, whatever time you would spend watching that TV, spend it in prayer. Then you're really sacrificing. Then you're really giving it up. Then you're really wanting God to do something special in that time. Why would you fast and pray? Because you need answers from God. You want to hear from God, because whatever you're doing isn't working right now, and you really want God to intervene. You want the Holy Spirit to give you the tools of strengthening and transforming grace into your life. Fasting and praying is meant to grow us closer to God, draw us closer, and allow us to separate sometimes from the circumstances that are in our life, because just like I said this morning, there are things that happen to us. I walked out of that door this morning and had no idea what was ahead, but God does. You have to be prayed up and ready. Fasting, if you look at all through the Bible, it's an expected practice both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Warning us when you fast, not if you're going to, when you fast, when you pray, not if you're going to pray, but when you pray, do these things. Fasting and praying allows us to restore our relationship back to the first love. I know I'm not the only one. There's times that God seems dry. Even for a preacher, I'm sitting here, I'm telling you that there's times that God seems dry and far away from you. It's those times that you draw in. It's those times that you have to be on your face before God. And when there's a breakthrough, there's a breakthrough. And when you see this, it's not that you don't love God. It's just that you walked away from your first love because of circumstances and situations. It's at those times that he's saying that fasting and praying will draw you back closer to me. I never left. It's you that has drifted because of circumstances. But if you will fast and pray, you will draw closer to me. Fasting will humble us because we're busy. We're all busy. Can you really be too busy to spend time with God? Can you be really too busy? You can't afford, if you really look at it, you can't afford not to spend time with God during your day. I believe God can make a 24-hour day longer if you need to. I believe that if you spent time with the Lord, that he'll give you back that time and time that you save because he gave you answers to some of the problems you have and you got ahead of them. Because I still believe God can do the impossible. I still believe God can do more than I can do. Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to really, at times, this might be an ouch, but at times to show us where we are really spiritually. And sometimes that is painful because we like to think that we're more spiritual than we are. And fasting and praying and spending time with God, he shows us and he sometimes breaks us, but in that breaking us, there's repentance and there's a transformation that takes place. And during fasting and prayer, the word becomes deep in your heart. When you're fasting a prayer that you remembered, and you're digging into God's word, and you're spending that time with him, the word just seems to go deeper into your heart. It's richer. It becomes a more personal experience. You begin to see that you can have revival in your own heart. You know where revival starts? Right here. We keep saying, and Christians say, oh, I want the church to be in revival. I want Christians to unite and come against this and this and this in revival. Well, revival begins right here. It begins in our heart. And God wants to use these things in our lives to bring us closer together. First and foremost purpose of fasting and praying is to bring a breakthrough. Amen? Is to bring a breakthrough in our lives. To find out where we're at and where God needs to take us. The disciples came to Jesus after they tried to heal a woman and they said, we couldn't do it. Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, there are some things that only happen because of praying and fasting. And I truly believe that sometimes the things that we're going through, especially when it seems like we're bombarded as a church, as a family, as a community, there's some things that just have to be prayed about and spent time with the Lord and sacrificially getting in your prayer closet and asking God to do something. Not just saying, oh God, that's a prayer that you cry out when it catches you by surprise. But after that, there's got to be a time that you diligently say, oh God, here's what's going on. Here's how I feel. Here's what I need. And there's a time that you draw in. See, I'm not opposed to weight loss. You want to go on a diet, go on a diet. You want to lose weight because you're not eating the calories, one thing, but if you're going to call it prayer and fasting, then you're giving up that food for a purpose. And that time that you would be eating is a time that you spend in prayer. That time that you would be eating. Because here's the thing. Our bodies don't like it when we don't eat. Our bodies say, what about that food? And you really tell your flesh, it's not about you right now. It's about my time with God. And when we do that, we begin to see God do these amazing things. And during that period of time, we ask God to forgive us for our sins. We want to come to God with a pure heart. David says this. He says, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. So really, what can you expect if you were to say right now, I'm going to spend this amount of time with God. This is about a time I'm not going to eat or, you know, and like I said, if you can't because of medical reasons, but you still, this is the time that I'm going to spend with God and I'm going to lay the flesh down. If it's food, one thing, or if it's something else, lay it down so that you're focused on God. This is what you can expect. You can expect the devil to be mad. I'm going to tell you right up front. The devil's not going to be happy that you're wanting to spend time with the Lord. You can expect that as you're asking God for repentance of sins going on in your heart and you open up your heart to God, you can expect that God is going to show you some things. Some you will like and some will challenge you. But that's what you can expect. You can expect him to intervene in our lives when we give him permission by setting aside a time. And I often think of an iceberg. Do you know that 90% of an iceberg is under the water? And if you could bring back all the people from the Titanic, I'm sure they would all tell you a story about how much of it is under the water. And I believe that this is where God takes us sometimes. And there's any piece that's less than 16 foot across, they call bergy bits or growlers. And I'm telling you this morning, we got some bergy bits that are eating us up. We got some crawlers that are attacking us because we don't see what's under the water. We don't see what's under the circumstance, and we need to be praying about it because we don't see those things. But in the same sense, sometimes we see 90% of that iceberg on top, and we don't see what God's doing underneath. And at a moment's notice, that 90% iceberg can be destroyed by the things that God is doing that you can't see. I'm getting ready to close this morning. What are you going to do with this information? What are you going to do with this information? See, some would say, oh yeah, that's all great. I'm going to try that sometime. But I'm here to challenge you this morning to set aside time for God. One meal, two meals, three meals a week. You know, there's numerous times that people say they fasted and prayed for 40 days. I don't recommend start out 40 days. If you're eating three squares a day, don't go on a 40-day fast without doing it a few times with a lot less. Seek medical advice for fasting for that amount of time. Start out easy. Just determine this next week that you're going to spend more time with God. Take your lunch hour. Go off in your car. Off into a room where there's not a lot of people. Whatever you need to do. And spend time with God. Let him know what's going on. He already does, but he does want to hear it from us sometimes. I want you to know, so you can't catch God by surprise. So what you say to him is not going to shock him, even if you're mad at him, because he knows our hearts. So spend that time with him. Ask God that you need a breakthrough. I've been praying for Rosedale as a church for a breakthrough. I pray for so many families that I see that it's going on with all the things going on in their lives. I'm praying, God, there's got to be a breakthrough. There's got to be an iceberg that's going to be destroyed here shortly. And I'm a visual kind of guy. So I'm picturing sometimes some of the mechanics and carpenters and stuff would appreciate. Sometimes we're using the wrong tools. Sometimes we're grabbing a wrench and trying to make a circle out of something. Sometimes we're trying to build something with barbaric cannibal toys and that really aren't worth anything. And God offers us the power tools. God offers us the things that are needed in our lives, and we need to take advantage of that. And I am. I'm praying that we have a breakthrough. Say amen to that. I'm praying for those. I want, my heart breaks for some of the things I'm seeing. In my own family, I'm praying for things that need to happen. We all do. We need each other. The only way we're going to see a breakthrough in some of these things is to be fasting and praying. Because let me tell you, again, I don't see a devil behind every tree, but there is a spiritual battle. There is things that need to be broken. There are spiritual things going on that we don't know about, that continue to hinder us. And God says, I got the answer. But I need a few to step up and be praying. I need a few to intercede. I need a few to be willing to stand in the gap for others. And then we're going to see a breakthrough. I believe it with all my heart. That'd be a good place to say amen, especially if you need God to do something. That would be a good place to say amen. Father, this morning, we watch a world that's in chaos. We watch a government that, for the most part, is in chaos, no matter which side of the aisle you're on. We watch our values being diminished. We watch kindness just getting to be an abnormal thing instead of the normal. And then you tell us, Lord God, we got to live here. Lord God, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your strength. Every part of this screams, I can't do this on my own. Help us, Lord Jesus. For some, Lord God, I'm asking directly that they would fast and pray and seek your face on these circumstances going on. Crying out to you, Lord, asking you to intercede and intervene in their lives. Looking for a breakthrough, Lord God. Asking you to do that, Lord, to give us that and help us. May we see a breakthrough. May we see our relationship with you draw closer. May we see some of the fleshly things that hold us back die in the name of Jesus Christ. And that you would get honor and glory in that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm asking you to stay in an attitude of worship. I'm gonna ask the ushers this morning if they wouldn't come right away. We're gonna have a time of communion, and I'm gonna ask them if they wouldn't come. ask you to go ahead. Father, I ask that you would just bless this time as we pass these elements out. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the whole theme this morning has been prayer. The whole theme of this morning, I'm sensing that God wants to do something, do something amazing. And if it's your first time taking communion here with us at Rosedale, I want you to know that communion is designed for believers to remember what Christ has done in our lives. Communion is a time that believers remember, they confess their sins and ask God to forgive them. But it's also a great opportunity. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you this morning. So if it's your first time and you've never taken communion, but this morning you've cried out to God and asked Him to be a part of your life, and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and asked Him to be a part of having an ongoing relationship with Him, this morning I'm telling you that you are invited by the Word of God to take communion with us this morning, that God can do an amazing thing and accomplish much in our lives. Ushers, would you come forward? Corinthians tells us that the element that you have in your hand is representative of the broken body of Christ, that we do that in remembrance of Him. So this morning we take that bread together. Father, we thank you this morning for the body of Christ and what you've done on the cross for us, Lord God, and we do remember all the goodness and the grace and the mercy that you provided us in Jesus' name. Father, I ask this morning that you would bless the cup as it's passed out in Jesus' name. The Bible also tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and without the remission of sin, that we're not able to spend eternity with the Lord. And so it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of just drawing hope in the Lord and spending time with Him in prayer and desiring to draw close to Him. If you don't remember anything else this morning, I'm asking you to remember that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares what's going on in your life. He's provided everything that He needs to provide for us. And if you're praying for something for a long time, I believe there's a breakthrough. Say amen to that. I believe there's a breakthrough. I believe there's a God that loves us and cares about us, and that we need to be crying out to Him this morning. Ushers, if you'd come back. Taking the cup together this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. It says, without the shedding of blood, there cannot be forgiveness of sins. And we're thankful, Lord God, that you provide a way of redemption for us. We ask, Lord God, as a body of believers coming together to remember what you've done for us, as a body of believers that that trust for a breakthrough, Lord God. Trust that your word would not return void. Trusting you, Lord God, to be able to stand on the strength and the power of your word and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We commit this time to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.